I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Run Your Money. Today on the show, we're talking about how to balance passion in your career with making good money. I'm Veronica Grant, your host and personal finance consultant. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm super excited about my episode today. I've actually got a guest with me. But before we get there, as always, a few pieces of housekeeping, and I've got some new news for you, which I'm super excited about. So the first piece of news is that, this is actually kind of boring, but it leads into the more exciting piece of news, is that next week I will have just reruns on the show. Because I need to free up my time a bit because I am very excited to debut a budgeting spreadsheet. A lot of people ask me all the time how I do my budgeting and manage my money and projections, etc. And I have used Mint.com for forever, but I actually haven't really been wholeheartedly recommending them for a while now. Because honestly, ever since Intuit bought Mint.com, and Intuit, by the way, is the same company that owns like TurboTax. Anyways, Intuit bought Mint.com several years ago and kind of just let it go down the shitter. It was very buggy, things didn't work, but I was so entrenched and had all of this data and trends and history with Mint.com that I just kept it. But I didn't really recommend my clients or friends or anyone who asked me to get started with it. Well, it turns out they're closing down, so it doesn't really matter anymore. And that happens to coincide perfectly with the spreadsheet that, well, really my husband has been making and I've been directing the creation of it. This spreadsheet is not just like a simple little old spreadsheet where you can put in your budget and call it a day. My goal with this spreadsheet is that you can really get a good financial picture as to where you are. There are going to be functionalities around projections, around retirement or other savings and investing goals you might have. There are projections and calculators for paying off debt. And the spreadsheet is based off of zero-based budgeting. Zero-based budgeting comes from an accounting method called zero-based accounting. The idea is that you give every penny a purpose. I talked about this a little bit in my Three Ways to Budget episode, which is so far one of the most downloaded episodes of my podcast, which I find to be very interesting. Anyways, the whole thing around zero-based budgeting is that every dollar has a purpose. And I think people mistakenly believe that means you're pinching pennies or being cheap with yourself, but that's not true. The true intention of zero-based budgeting is that every dollar has an intention. Whether it's to be saved or invested or given away or to go out to dinner with your friends because that's something that you highly value. So the spreadsheet will help you do that and again, get a good, clear picture as to where you are, where you're going, and where some of the shortcomings, you could say, in your finances are so that you know where you need to focus so that you can close up some of those loops. That's going to be available in the new year. So make sure you keep your eyes and ears peeled. I will definitely be announcing it here on the podcast. And I will probably have some sort of discount available for those on my newsletter list. So if you're not on my newsletter list, I send a newsletter every Tuesday. You can go to veronicagrant.com/newsletter and subscribe. I do not send out a ridiculous amount of emails. Every once in a while, if I am promoting something, there might be a couple extra. But generally speaking, it is a newsletter that lands in your inbox every Tuesday. And I try to make it as value-packed as I possibly can. And the other business, as always, is please leave a rating or review wherever you listen to this podcast. Make sure you're subscribed and share this episode or another episode with somebody that you think could benefit from it. Okay, so today's episode, I have a guest on the show. She is a career coach and she's also my friend. Her name is Ashley Jablow. I'm not going to give her backstory now because she actually shares it. And usually that's not something I do on this podcast, but she has had an interesting career trajectory. So I think you might be able to relate to it, especially if you have been on a career path where you've been trying to balance like, okay, I'm not making a lot of money, but this is a good opportunity, or I'm learning a lot in this job, or it has to do with something that I'm really passionate about, or switching it totally off to like go get the money, but then it's like this soul-sucking job. So if you can relate to that tension, I think you're really going to appreciate her story. And I hope also some of the story that I share, because I actually share a lot about my previous career in this episode that I hope will be helpful for you if you are struggling or just really trying to find that balance for you when it comes to passion versus making money that supports your life. By the way, this episode is going to be the first of probably many more conversations around balancing, finding something that is meaningful for you that also pays you well. This is something that I wish I asked myself in my early 20s, and we talk about this a little bit on the show today, and I think we're just really scratching the surface. So this brings me to my final request from you before we get to my conversation with Ashley, and that is, please let's make this podcast a dialogue. I don't want to just be like speaking out into the void, hoping someone listens. So as you're listening, if you have thoughts or questions or want to share your experience or feedback or whatever it is, then come on over to Instagram or TikTok and find me or Ashley or any other guests I might have on the show and feel free to share. You can comment on any one of my photos or videos or send me a DM. I really want to make this a back and forth because one, I'm just a human and I like to have dialogue back and forth with other humans, but also that will help inform future episodes that I make, whether it's in regards to this topic or any other topic that you might be interested in me doing on the show. So with that all being said, let's get to my conversation with Ashley. Hi, Ashley. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me, Veronica.
So a very close, I don't know what the word is, cousin maybe of money is your career. Because most people need a career in order to have money to then invest or save or spend or give away or whatever the thing is. So naturally, I do get a lot of career questions and some things I feel like I can answer, but a lot of things I feel like I can't because I've actually spent fairly little time in corporate compared to a lot of other people. And so I'm super excited to have you on the show because my hope is that you kind of be that bridge where a lot of my audience and clients, we want to talk about money, but also like, what if you hate the way you make money or you hate your job or should your passion be tied to how you make money or you don't feel passionate about your job or it's soul sucking or like whatever the thing is. My goal is that we cover not everything in this interview because like, let's be honest, that's a huge conversation, but at least get some brains turning around some next steps that people can take and then obviously find you on the internet for more support should they need. So before we get into all of that juicy stuff, can you just share a little bit about what you do? And I know you have an interesting career story that you think might be relevant to folks listening.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. It's like, let's not try to boil the whole ocean in 20 minutes, but we'll start. We'll start raising it maybe by a degree. So I'm Ashley Jablow. I guide high-achieving professionals to get unstuck from a job that no longer fits and to make a plan for their next career chapter. And that is very much, in one sentence, the story of my own career journey as well. I have always been very ambitious, definitely a high achiever, perfectionist through and through. And that inner drive to achieve around work has led me to a lot of really incredible jobs, incredible companies and organizations. And it's funny, as I was preparing for today's conversation, I was thinking about the twists and turns that my career has taken and how each of those decisions were, I guess, impacted by money, or like money was a silent partner in all of these decisions. And I never really considered it actually until today, which I think is really maybe telling, but also interesting. So I started my career in the nonprofit sector. I've always been very mission driven and I'm eager to have an impact and make a contribution. And I fell very much into the cliche, doesn't matter how much money I make because I'm saving the world. And if you were to plot my career choices and decisions on kind of an EKG with lots of highs and lots of lows, you know, didn't start out earning very much. And actually, as a result of that, decided to go to business school because I thought, oh, well, this is definitely going to be my ticket to a higher earning role, a higher earning job. What I didn't realize was it was my one-way ticket to a whole bunch of debt, which definitely did not support my financial goals. And in fact, after business school, I did land a really incredible job with a very well-known design innovation company and found myself in the conundrum that a lot of my clients find themselves in, which is this is an amazing opportunity. The pay is really crummy. How do I understand that? How do I make sense of that? So I was led by, this is a really cool opportunity. This is going to look great on my resume. I'm going to have a lot of learning to do. But it was not a way of getting myself out of the financial hole I had started to dig. So I worked in design and innovation for a number of years and learned, like I expected, a lot. But again, was not making very much money. And so then I had an opportunity to join the White House and serve as a presidential innovation fellow. Which is funny because it was an incredible growth opportunity for me, an incredible service opportunity. Also, it was a huge catapult into a different salary bracket, which is so interesting because we don't often think about government jobs as being the ones pay well. And it may speak to how little I was getting paid up until that point. So I worked in government for a number of years. I went into the private sector after that. I took another pay cut in service of, this is a job that's going to allow me to have a lot of impact and contribute.
So after the White House, you took another.
After the White House, okay. Yeah. So again, that EKG graph, it's like up and down and up and down. And in the end, I got a very unexpectedly laid off about a year into that role. And honestly, Veronica, that was probably the first time in my entire career trajectory where I started to actually pay attention to what am I earning and even how am I earning?
I have a question about that. I mean, obviously people are wired differently and clearly my Capricorn brain was very wired towards how much money is this? How much money am I making? How much money can I make? I've talked about this on my show plenty of times before, but literally my 11-year-old self was like projecting how much money I was expecting to make through the rest of my babysitting gigs. Because a lot of my gigs were regular. So I was like, okay, it's due now. How much money am I going to have by the time school starts? How much money will I have by my next birthday? I'm like doing all these calculations. I don't know, whatever. I'm crazy like that. But
Just different, yeah, right?
So my question, and I understand not everyone is like that. I'm just so curious about that because I have to wrap my mind around, wait, like money's not a motivating factor for you? Do you think that is a way that you might be wired, a way that you're raised, or even a bigger question around society and women and gender and pay and the pay gap and all that stuff?
Yeah. Oh, that's such a juicy question. And I think, so it's probably a yes and, like a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I think when I got laid off and I started my own business, I talk about it, the first year of being in business for myself was like proving the business model of Ashley. And it was the opportunity to test, like, will people actually pay me money outside of a W-2 job? And for that reason, it was really, truly the first time I ever really cared about how much am I bringing in or even felt truly motivated by, wow, I could earn something here. I think some of that is because I'm fortunate that I grew up within a family where I never explicitly felt a lot of scarcity around money. My mom is a small business owner herself. She, through her bead business, put me through college. So, you know, we weren't wealthy, but we were comfortable. And I never felt like money needed to be the reason I made a decision. And at the same time, when I started my business, suddenly I was like, wait a minute, maybe I should be paying attention to this. And actually, maybe it's really motivating for me. And that's where I think the conditioning of where I grew up, you know, where I went to school, what I taught explicitly and implicitly about what it means to be a nonprofit person, right? To be mission-driven, badge of honor or the badge of sacrifice, right? It's probably all mixed up in there.
Yeah.
But I think now, 6 years into entrepreneurship, I am definitely more involved in my money. I have more of a point of view about not just what I want to earn, but how I want to use my money. And it's been a really fun and sometimes frustrating journey to like reconcile that I use different criteria to make career decisions earlier on than if I were to go back and do it again.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So boy, money is a through line. You know, as I said, I really didn't notice it there until recently.
Yeah. What stuck out for me listening to your story is I had this belief when I was younger, like in my 20s, especially early 20s, and certainly in college, where if you had a job where you made a lot of money, then it was, I mean, I hate to use this simplistic of language, but I really do think I saw it that simply, is that it's just that you're doing bad for the world. In whatever way it meant, I didn't even mean anything specific in terms of like the environment or human capital. I just meant like, you're just doing bad. And so that drove my decision as to what I majored in and the kinds of jobs that I was interested in applying for after school and then eventually grad school. And while I don't really regret the path that I took, I think if it was like my current day self calling the shots, I would have made some different choices. I just literally remember there was this guy who was dating one of my really good friends, and he was in the business school. I went to UNC. So he was in the business school there. And I was like, oh my God, he's like doing business and my friend's dating him. Like, what an asshole. He's a perfectly fine person. Where is this coming from? I'm not really sure. So wondering if you felt similar to this and that, to make an impact or have a job that was meaningful, does that automatically mean a pay cut or a lower salary?
I love that. I love that question. And I have to say, like, I think I for sure have held on to that kind of, I want to say like reductionist, right? Like the idea that if you make a lot of money equals bad. I mean, even when I went to business school, that was its own kind of difficult mental exercise to understand, like, I'm a mission person. I'm a change, you know, an impact person. And I'm going to business school. Like that alone was hard to wrap my head around. And it explains why I spent those 2 years like working in sustainability and corporate social responsibility, because that's where I felt like I could fit in to kind of merging those two worlds. So do I have to take a pay cut in order to have impact? Or do I have to agree to a life of financial constraints maybe in order to have an impact? And I think, again, it's a conversation with our younger selves. I would have said yes. I would have said this is just the landscape that's here. If I want to really create change in the world, then these are the jobs that are available. This is what they pay. I think what has evolved for me over the years is actually my definition of impact. So the financial piece hasn't necessarily changed. Unfortunately, I know from my clients who work in the nonprofit sector, salaries have not really improved, right? It's not suddenly a lucrative place to work. I think where I support my clients and where I have been able to, again, evolve is how do I define impact? And in the beginning, impact was, I want to be serving communities. I want to be doing what I can to save lives or save the environment. And over the years, that's changed and morphed into, I want to be a really positive community member. I want to bring my talents and my gifts to serve others along their journey. right? So when your definition of impact can expand, the opportunities for how you express that impact also expand. I think by extension, your earning potential as well.
I had this moment where I had this nonprofit job, and in some ways, I guess, thank goodness for the nonprofit job because it was so terrible. It drove me into entrepreneurship, but low pay, nights and weekends, no comp time, all of it. Anyway, they have like this biannual event. And I think at least the one I went to, it was in San Diego. And there were some donors that put on this gala kind of party. It wasn't like a huge gala like Black Tie, but it was the very like the best of the best in terms of the donors in this sweet hotel room overlooking the water. It was beautiful food and beautiful views. And those probably like, in addition to the staff, I don't know, somewhere between 50 and 75 of the top donors. And I had this moment when I was at this party and I was supposed to be working, but I was so over this job and I knew I was leaving it. I was not really doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I was drinking booze and eating the hors d'oeuvres. And I had this moment where it finally dawned on me where I don't want to be, this is me, I'm not saying this was the correct decision for everyone, but my experience was, I don't want to be the person who is on staff at a gala like this. I want to be the person who can fork over the money for a gala like this. And that was a huge turning point and one of the first times I can ever recall think, oh, I don't want my career to be my passion, so to speak, but a way in which I can create an impact through the money rather than like working these, like, at least in my experience, this job was total. I don't have to go into it. So anyways, that was really eye-opening for me. And I can just still remember that moment and like the ocean, like it was just like one of those defining moments where you just will always remember where you are. I don't remember why I started telling you that story.
Well, we were talking about like, do you have to take a pay cut in order to work and to have an impact? And, you know, my...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
My version of that story, Veronica, was when I was the first director of development for a very small education nonprofit in San Francisco. And we had incredibly big goals. We actually threw a number of large, fancy galas ourselves. But we also had goals to share and spread the curriculum we'd created all over the world. And I remember going into the office kitchen one day and realizing that the toaster was broken and we couldn't afford to buy a new toaster. And that's when I said, this isn't going to work for me. Yeah. The conclusion I came to was, I don't think I want to work in the nonprofit sector anymore. It wasn't so much I want to be the one, you know, able to buy 1,000 toasters. But I think there are those moments when I see this with my clients every day where we pick our heads up and look around and realize that I think I call it like the bill of goods. The itemized list of what we thought we were buying into was wrong. It's a bad, you know, it's a bad setup, right? Yeah. Like a lot of the clients I work with, they come to me because they've realized I've been striving. I've been wanting to have impact. You know, they're often very career oriented and very ambitious. And they're realizing that the context and the settings that they've been working within are like not working for their lives. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge light bulb. And it's also really scary to come to that initial conclusion. Like the way I've set up my entire career and the path that I have gone down, that it's not working for me anymore. And so what do I do?
Yeah, it's really scary. I can relate to that in a couple times in my career path, and even a little bit now as I'm going through a lot of my own transition in my career and business, et cetera. But another moment that I had, this should have been like my red flag on day one. I was getting a tour of the office building. I am just really using this interview to just like, I just want to say, I don't want to harp on all nonprofits. And I'm sure there's someone listening to this who works for a nonprofit. And I pray
Absolutely.
That it's a good experience, because the work nonprofits do is important. I just want to be clear on my stance there.
So true. So true.
But I was getting a tour through this particular nonprofit that I just signed on to work with. And we went to the kitchen and to show, this is the refrigerator, put your stuff there. And I just said, oh, where's the coffee machine? There's no fucking coffee. If I wanted coffee, I needed to bring my own coffee or just walk down to Starbucks, which, oh yeah, by the, I could afford that living in friggin' DC at a nonprofit salary. I don't think so. It's like, I couldn't believe there was not a coffee machine, not even a cheap thing. Nothing, nada. And I was just like, this is a long way from my law firm that I was previously working at. This is a long, long way from that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why, especially, and I would say, you know, for anyone who's listening, who's early on in their career, this is important to listen to for people in the mid phase of their careers, you know, to actually pause and take a moment and consider, is my work life working for my whole life?
Yeah.
You know, and if it's not, and it's okay to be honest if it's not. I mean, yeah. I think one of the places where we run into trouble is when we are unwilling to actually turn towards the thing that's honest and true.
Yeah.
And, you know, I certainly, as much as I'm grateful and in many ways inspired by the career path that I took up to this point, I also know that there were a lot of moments where I chose not to be honest, that things weren't working for me, for my family, for my finances, for my day-to-day experience. Like, where am I going to get coffee from? All of that.
Yeah.
And so that would be a piece of advice, is just like, give yourself the opportunity to just even be honest with yourself. You don't even have to share it with anyone just yet. But what are the ways that your work is or is not serving your whole life? And just start to notice that.
Yeah. I love that. I love that framing, work fulfilling your whole life. Because if your work is soul sucking, like how this particular job was, it ruins the rest of your life too.
Yeah.
I remember I actually met Stevie, my now husband, shortly after I started working there. And I remember, you know, we'd spend the weekends together, and I just looked forward to the weekends so much because I was just trying to get through the grind. I was also teaching 10 million yoga classes, trying to make ends meet because, again, low pay, DC, lots of problems there. And like Sunday afternoon around 2 or 3 would come around, I would literally be in tears, just tears, that I had to go back to my reality. I had to go back home, do my grocery shopping, batch cook for the week, because I didn't have time to cook during the week. So I was working this shitty job and teaching 10 million yoga classes. And I was just in tears almost every Sunday afternoon. And it's awful. So, and there's a couple questions here. One is a total career pivot. Like, okay, I can see the path that I'm on and I don't want to go down that path. It's like a train. I can see it crashing. How do I stop it or get off the train? And the second, I think, related question is someone who just feels stuck. I think a lot of times people think, oh, well, like kind of like you, like, oh, I should just go get my MBA, or I should just go get this degree or that degree. And sometimes that can really pay off. I have a friend who went back to school to be an actuary, and she's making bank compared to what she used to make and loves it, you know? What's like the first step, first few steps for either one or both of those situations?
Yeah, boy. Well, I'm like, my heart just like opens up for both of them, because neither one is a simple answer.
Yeah.
You know, I think if I just kind of talk this through, we've got one person who feels a ton of urgency. They should have left their job like yesterday because they are so stuck. And then the other person, it's sort of more like a slow burn of, I just know that this isn't the right
for me. For whatever reason, it could be the passion thing. It could be like the, oh, there's no money in this thing, or there's no growth. So it's not necessarily someone looking for their passion or impact.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think so. Unfortunately, urgency doesn't work in our favor when we intend to make thoughtful career change, right? So ideally, we have an opportunity to, again, get honest about what's really going on before you get to the place where you have such a bad taste in your mouth that you are really thinking about walking into your boss's office and quitting, right? Now, sometimes taking that drastic action really is what's called for. And there are certainly stories I could share, I won't, but I could, about coaching my clients to do just that. Now, there are times when you just have to call a spade, and that's when I say all of your expert guidance around what should you have in your emergency fund, right? What do you need to have on hand financially to feel safe enough to rip that Band-Aid off? That's a really important line of questioning. For folks who are starting to notice that they feel stuck, because often there's like this runway that, again, if we can start to pay attention to, we can start to take proactive steps earlier than waiting until everything is a dumpster fire and you're crying on Sunday, right? So I think the number one place that I would encourage people to start, if they're feeling like, you know, this isn't necessarily what I want, or I'm starting to feel unhappy, or I'm not making the money that I'd like to, whatever it is, you know, let's just say this about humans. We hate uncertainty. Like, any kind of ambiguity is incredibly uncomfortable. I think about it like swinging from a tree to tree in a high ropes course, right? Like, I used to doing those kinds of team building activities, and it was, you know, it's miserable. Like, you're on one tree platform and I'm just like, I'm going to scream and flail and try to get to that other one as fast as I can. When we're faced with a career problem or a question and we don't know how to answer it yet, our initial response is to jump to solutions as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I've done this myself a number of times. You know, I'm so unhappy at work, so that means I should go get another job. And then what ends up happening is you get that other job, and within a day or two, you realize that the same problems you had at the last one have somehow mysteriously followed you to this one, right? What an idea. And so the place where I always encourage people to start is actually to not do anything, but to pause and to actually consider what is the problem that you are trying to solve, right? Again, you can say, I'm so unhappy at my job. But if that's not the true problem, maybe upon closer inspection, you're like, you know what? I feel really undervalued at work. Like that, if you can say that's actually the problem, or I'm not making enough money to pay my bills, that's actually the problem. It's not that I'm unhappy with my job. It's that I'm having trouble getting out of the red every month. Well, that's going to lead to a completely different set of solutions. And so if people can pause for just a moment and consider even just going through a quick, like, five whys exercise, you know, like, I'm really unhappy with my job. Why? Well, because I don't feel like I'm growing. Well, why don't I feel like I'm growing? Because I got passed over for a promotion. You can start to unpack things and then actually point your compass in the right direction.
That's so smart, because I'm definitely one to do this, even though I'm very Capricorn. I have a lot of Sagittarius in me. Sagittarius is like, that's where I'm going. I'll ask the questions later. And my Capricorn self is like, what are we doing here? So like, there's, I feel this constant inner battle in me all the time.
Yeah. Well, and if I can just jump in, I think, you know, there is also an element. It's like two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
We can pause to consider what is the true problem I'm trying to solve. And as my mom likes to say, we can always get on the bus and get going and change our seat later. That's what she has told me my whole life. You've got to get on the bus. You can always change your seat later. And so there's an element of like, I want to try to vet the problem that I'm trying to solve and actually, like, again, kick those tires and make sure I've got a well-informed understanding of what's actually wrong, so that then I can get on the bus. And by that, I mean, like, try something small, right? Instead of going like, okay, I think the problem is I'm not learning. I've got to go to business school and put myself in $200,000 or more of debt, which is exactly what I did. could have said, you know what, getting on the bus might look like I'm going to take an Econ 101 class at my local community college and see if I even like learning this stuff, right? I'm going to talk to a friend who goes to business school and see what she thinks about it. Instead, I just went from zero to 100 and threw myself into a grad program that truthfully was not a fit, right? So being able to pause and reflect and consider what is the true problem I'm trying to solve. And then I always love to pair that with what is the smallest, fastest, cheapest thing that I could do or try right now to learn the most about whatever the problem is. And once you've done that learning, you can say again, okay, what do I do now to help inform what the next step looks like?
I love the pausing to ask why and the why, because it feels like it does a couple things. One, if you can pinpoint what the issue is, as opposed to, well, I hate my job, or my boss is an asshole or whatever, but really get specific, then it seems like there might be more possibility to at least temporarily resolve whatever that issue is, to either make the job something you would want or at least buy you time to find the next right job. And then also, because you've asked yourself these questions and really done some reflection, then you become a better job seeker in the future, because then in your interview, you can say, does this firm value continuing ed, or what are growth opportunities? I just love that. I also just want to say that according to, I don't know, some financial experts, if you switch jobs every 2 to 3 years, that's actually the best way to increase your salary, because generally you get a bigger promotion going to a new company as opposed to just staying the same company and getting like those yearly COLA. So yeah, I think the more you can be specific around what's not working and then what do I need to do moving forward, you might be able to work that even more to your advantage and get a bigger bump on your next few jobs as opposed to sticking it out in the current job.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's one of the reasons, Veronica, why I like talking with you, because I feel like together our strategies mesh really well, right? So I just appreciate that about you.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay. I think we've talked through the person who feels stuck and maybe a little pigeonholed on their career path. Is there anything else that you would like to add to that or any other thoughts for them?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the other things that comes to mind, both for the person who feels that sort of slow burn stuckness, as well as for the person who feels the urgency of this is unsustainable, I can't do this any longer, is the fact that we don't operate in a vacuum when we make these kinds of decisions. So often, a lot of coaching conversations with someone who's in transition like this center around, how do I either talk to my partner about this? How do I enroll them in the vision that I'm starting to hold for my career and the path I want to go down? Or even how do I think about prioritizing our expenses, right? And what trade-offs am I going to be willing to make in service of this vision that I'm starting to build? Whether it's with a partner, it's with children, it's with other people that you might support or you're in relationship with. So this is one of the things that makes this kind of career and life change really complex, is we're not doing it alone. I've got some ideas for how to start that conversation. But I think that that's something that's really important and that I want to acknowledge. A lot of people come to the table recognizing, like, may want this change. I may feel ready for it. I may feel even beyond ready for it. And kind of have to think about all the other people in my life. And that alone adds to the feeling of being stuck, because they don't know how to have those conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I first went to... my husband was like, I think I want to blow everything up.
I will say,
he works for the government, and this provides stability that you may not get in the private sector, because he's not going to get fired or laid off anytime soon. Yeah. And so it's given us more flexibility to be like, well, let me try something new and see what happens.
Well, and I think that's where having a vision, a shared vision with your partner about what you are trying to build and create together, And also recognizing, I remember when my husband and I were getting married, we had a family friend officiate our ceremony, and he took it very seriously, which I so appreciated, and actually sat us down for early marriage counseling, even though he had absolutely no true training in it. He just wanted to kind of convene those conversations. And I remember him saying to us that edge, you know, whether you choose to be married or you're in a long-term partnership or any kind of, you know, relationship like that, it's really about one person getting to take a couple steps forward while the other one hangs out for a while. And then after that, you can change places, right? And you do this kind of shuffle, this kind of dance. But as long as you have this shared vision of where you're going, it's all working in service of that.
Yeah.
And I think that as a is such a foundational piece that a lot of couples, I think, from at least my anecdotal experience, kind of miss. And so how do you create the agreement and the conditions for the two of you to imagine your future and then consider how do we each play a role in creating this together?
Yeah.
And again, what are we willing to say no to?
Yeah.
That's not aligned.
Yeah. I love that. I remember many, many years ago when I was still in college, I was international studies major. So anyone in international studies probably is considered foreign service at some point. And I remember talking with a foreign service officer just about her career. And I'm like, well, what about relationships? Because I've always been like, I want to be married since I was like 12 years old. That's my Venus and Capricorn talking. And she basically said exactly that. If two people are married in the foreign service, then one will go for like the big job, the big promotion, while the other one is just going to kind of hang tight and take just whatever next job so that they can often stay in the same location or close to the same location. And then you switch back and forth. And just in my own experience, proposing what some might seem not like outlandish, but just not traditional W-2 employee type of plans to my husband. It's just, I think, at least having a plan and like showing how your personal plan fits into the overall family plan of like what the shared vision is, I think is super helpful. So anyways, I know there's so much more we can talk about and so much more you have to say. So for people listening who would like more support from you and would like to learn more about how to make a career transition or a big move, where can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would love to continue the conversation. So anyone who wants to connect with me can on Instagram, Ashley Jablow, or on LinkedIn. I'm also very active on LinkedIn. And my website is wayfinderscollective.com. Speaking to our point about getting clarity and making sure that you understand the true problem you're trying to solve, I have just re-released a live training all about helping you get out of confusion and get into clarity by taking that pause and asking yourself, what is the true problem I want to solve? And so in the training, I walk you through how to actually unpack the true problem that you want to solve and identify your next steps. So you can find that at wayfinderscollective.com/clarity.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here today and for sharing your experience and your knowledge with us.
Such a treat, Veronica. Thank you so much. I'm learning so much from our conversation, so it's a gift to be here with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the Run Your Money Show. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss a new episode. And hey, before you leave, can you do me a quick favor? Please leave a rating or review wherever you listen to this podcast. It takes just a few seconds for you, and it helps me enormously to get the show out in front of more women just like you. Thank you so much. You can find show notes, transcripts, free resources, and info on how to work with me at veronicagrant.com. See you next episode.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.